Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you this morning, and we trust the Lord would help us to be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to live in America. It has its issues, but Lord, it's still a wonderful place to live, particularly here in the valley. Lord, thank you so much for your many blessings. And Lord, help us this day. With all the battles we fight, with all the wars that are waging in our hearts and our lives, and the struggles that we face, financial struggles, spiritual troubles, physical troubles, Lord, just over and over, things that we battle with. And everyone who's listening has a battle. Everyone who's listening has a burden. Father, may you help us today. Lord, lift up our hearts. Encourage us. May you give us the wherewithal, Lord, to by faith look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, when we're down. Encourage us. Give us the strength that we need, and help us to finish strong in this race that we're running. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs going through looking for biblical principles for practical living. One of the things that we particularly need in today's society, and I suppose that's true of all time, past, present, and the future, is we need to be people who live by biblical principles instead of by our emotions. So often, much of our living is done by whatever the heat of the moment says. We're happy, we're sad, we're angry, we're bitter, we're envious, whatever it is. And so often, we're not living by biblical principles. You see, principle will tell us and demand of us to conduct our business or our affairs in a way that's beyond our emotional feelings that we're having at the moment. In other words, I might feel like I'm angry, but I'm going to speak kindly. I may feel like I'm just worn out and I can't go another step, but I'm going to fight the fight that God's given to me, and I'm going to finish my course. I'm not going to quit. I may want to be ugly in a comment, but the Bible teaches me that I'm to be kind with my words and be careful not to utter all my mind and to keep my words until afterwards. And so that's biblical principle into practice. We're in the book of Proverbs. We're in chapter 21, and we're looking at verse number 6. And the Bible teaches us here, says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Treasures by a lying tongue. Well, do we live in a day and age in which this is true? I think the answer is obvious. And I'm sure other generations have had the same issues. In the future generations, until the Lord comes back, will continue to have the same problems. Matthew Henry says about this verse, he says, this shows the folly of those that hope to enrich themselves by dishonest practices, by oppressing and overreaching those with whom they deal, by false witnessing, and by fraudulent contacts. You know, they make no scruples of lying when there is something to be gained by it. You know, unfortunately, there are people who live that way today, and many people and have the idea or the philosophy there's nothing wrong with it as long as you benefit from it. I think, unfortunately, we see a lot of this happening in our government. I think sometimes our government's willing to lie to us, willing to tell us something that's not true, because they say in their mind the ends justifies the means. You know, what a sad testimony when anybody, when any institution, any government, any person decides to lower him or herself down to this concept, I'm going to lie, I'm going to falsify information so that I can get my way. You know, God's people ought not to live that way any time. It doesn't matter if people are treating us that way. We have no right, we have no justification to turn around and treat them in the same manner. We as Christians have a high calling, and that high calling is to be honest and have integrity. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. Righteousness delivereth from death. Proverbs 13, verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. In this verse, it's talking about money. The getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a vanity. It's a vanity. It's empty. It's useless. it certainly has no value in a society that needs to function at a level that can just be the best that it can be. And certainly has no business in a Christian's life when we would use the tool of lying to get ahead in life. You know, when you may not like what the government does with your tax money, but that doesn't give you a right to cheat on your taxes. I can guarantee you there's a lot of things this government does with my tax money that I despise, but I pay my taxes. And we ought to pay our taxes. We have no right whatsoever to cheat anybody on anything. We must be honest in our dealings. There are too many people that have justified being dishonest, lying and cheating in order to get financial gain. And we as Christians have no business participating in that at all. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, "As the partridge setteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." That's Jeremiah 17, verse 11. Just like a partridge, he sets on the eggs, doesn't hatch them. A guy that gets riches, but doesn't do it by the right way, he does it by unjust means. The Bible says he shall leave them in the midst of his days, and in the end, he'll be proven to be a foolish man. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, the Bible says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know, the many people in our society today, they have fallen into this temptation to get rich, this idea of get rich quick, always get something more. This past Sunday night, I preached on contentment and used the Apostle Paul as a man, as what a great example of being content. Paul said, whatever state he happened to be in, he's learned to be content. You know, there's not too many people who are content in society anymore. We always got to have something new, something better. And it seems like our society has gotten away from the ability to be satisfied with what they have. And all of us have this issue from time to time, perhaps some more than others, but it affects us all. This idea of contentment, you know, if I could be content, I wouldn't be tempted to use lying to get ahead financially and gain treasures of this life. I could just be honest. You know, and God's calling upon us this morning to be honest people. And I would encourage all of us this morning, and you're here, you're on the radio station, you're listening. You know, be an honest person in all of your dealings, in every little thing. Someone said to Michelangelo many years ago, I read an article where somebody asked him, said, "Why do you spend so much time on the little minute details?" And his comment was something to this, and I'm paraphrasing. He says, you know, that makes perfection, and perfection is no trifle. It's no small thing. In other words, why do you spend so much time on little trifle things, little small insignificant details? He said, well, that makes perfection, and perfection's not a small thing. You know, as Christians, we ought to strive for perfection in our integrity, in the smallest of things and in the biggest of things. We ought to strive for absolutely pure integrity 100% of the time, and never allow ourselves to lower our standard to using fraudulent or deceitful or lying means to get a gain in this life. You know, God's going to lead and guide and direct us. We just need to trust him, and whatever he allows to touch our lives, be content with it. And that'll help us. That'll help us a lot. And may God help us this morning to be people with integrity, honest in all of our dealings, particularly in the dealings with treasures and finances. May God help us always to be honest. Never under any circumstances use anything but utmost integrity when you're dealing with financial issues. And may God help us to do that. We'll be better having done that. And those who choose not to do that will find that themselves in the end will nowhere be near what they thought it would bring them. May God help us this morning. Let's go over to one other verse. In verse number 9, we're taking these principles as they come, no agenda, just as they're laid out in the book of Proverbs, identifying some principles. and then discussing them. We're on verse number 9, Proverbs 21. The Bible says, "It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." That word brawling means contentious, a quarrel, discord, strife. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than to dwell in a wide house with a woman who's contentious, brings discord or strife. It says in verse 19, "It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." You know, it's an interesting principle here, one we don't normally talk about, but it's in the Bible, it's in the book of Proverbs, and I've been going down as they come. I've been dealing with the issue, been doing this at our church. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:4, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." Dear ladies, you're listening this morning. Are you a virtuous woman who brings a crown to your husband, or are you one who's being or used to bring shame upon your husband and rottenness to his bones? In Proverbs 25:24, "It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." In Proverbs 27:15-16, the Bible says, "A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her hideth the wind and the ointment of his hand which bereath itself." You know, God's speaking here about the relationship between a husband and a wife, and that the wife has such a powerful influence, such a strong influence in that relationship. And so, dear wife today, those of you who are listening who are presently married, those of you who are not married but hope to someday be, as a young lady, I would encourage all of you to take the challenge from God's Word to be a virtuous woman so that you can be a crown to your husband. And do everything that you can in your power and your strength, with God helping you, to never do anything that would make your relationship a burden to your husband. As the Bible says, "maketh him ashamed as rottenness in his bones." You know, a wife has such a great impact on a home. She has great power to influence in a positive way, or she has great potential to bring great harm on a relationship and in a home. And you're like the rudder of the home. You can, whichever way you want to lead it, that's the way it's going to go. The husband's ahead of the home, but the wife is often the rudder. She's, her attitude, her conduct often steers a family in a certain direction. A woman often sets the tone, sets the atmosphere for the home. And, you know, as a wife, you have a tremendous potential for great value, or you have great potential for great harm as you bring those things into your home. And so I would encourage all of you who are married and hope to be someday, just to ask the Lord to give you strength and ask the Lord to give you wisdom. And if you find yourself this morning, perhaps you've been one of those brawling, contentious women who's bringing discord or strife, you have a tendency just to not be what you think the Lord would want you to be. May God help you this morning. And to the husbands, we're not any better off. We've got the same potential here, but this is the verse that we see here. This is the way God's laid it out. I'm not picking on the women. It's just the verse as it comes in order. And so what to God today, we would take this as an encouragement to be a good wife, a good godly mother. And you have such great potential, and I pray that God would help you and assist you and strengthen you and enable you to be all that God wants you to be to your husband and to your children. As you set the tone for the home there, you have a great opportunity. And may God give you the strength and give you victory in this area. And may God use you and your husband as you continue to live out this life for Christ. May God help you to do so. Well, we looked at two principles. My time is up this morning. I thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day.